Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, the early service did better than y'all. I think we should try again. Good morning.
Good morning.
So much better. Good job. All right, so good morning to everyone that's online joining us, too. We're glad that you could be with us today. And if you don't know, my name is Dalee Jordan, and I am the children's pastor here at St. Luke's. On the way in, you should have gotten a yellow card if you'll fill that out so we know that you are here today. And on the back, you can put any prayer requests that you want to on there, and one of our prayer team will pray over that. Sorry, I'm out of breath because I ran. Not, it wasn't really a run, y'all. It was more like a jog. Bentley, we go to our one announcement that we have today is the XO Conference. This is a conference we've been doing, I think it's about 6 or 7 years. And Jamar and I have been several times, and it's really a great conference. There's lots of talks that have really helped our marriage. And so it's good if you have a great marriage or if you have some spots you need to work on. And let's be honest, we all have spots we need to work on. But there's food, and it's just a great time. And so I encourage everyone to sign up for that. And there's a special thing happening this year. The Sunday school class that brings the most couples will win $100 for their favorite class mission project. So talk to your Sunday school class group, too, and get them to come with you. So I think that's all of our announcements. So question, have you ever been in the country, like on a farm or in the mountains, where the air just seems clearer and cleaner and you can take this real deep breath, and there's just something refreshing about that? It's almost kind of cleansing, and it's just this sense of peace that washes over you. So I know we're not out in an open field this morning, but I want that same sense of peace for you today, and I want, God wants that same sense of peace for you as well. So this morning together, we're going to take a few deep breaths together, and as we do, I want you to let the burdens and the distractions and the worries that you try to carry around on your own, I just want you to let them go. And I would love for you to be able to let them go forever, but I know that's not reality sometimes. So we're going to at least try to let them go for this full Sabbath day. Okay, y'all ready? Let's take a deep breath together. One was great, but let's do one more. Heavenly Father, we just come to you now and we just praise you for who you are. Thank you for being our creator, and thank you for sending Jesus as our example and our savior. And I just pray this morning that you fill this place and let your peace fill each of us so much that all our burdens and our worries and our anxieties get pushed out. And as we try to take those things back, God, I just pray that you remind us that you have it and that we don't need to take it anymore. Just speak to us this morning. Let your word wash over us so that when we leave this place, we are changed and different. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you all. Andy Hurst is bringing our message to us this morning via video, so here's Andy.
My name is Andrew, and I come to your century from 20 centuries ago. I appreciate your Pastor Andrew, Pastor Andy, inviting me to come and share with you this morning. I've enjoyed staying at Sister Janie and Brother Andrew's house. I've enjoyed all of Sister Janie's homemade cooking, and I've even enjoyed the great athletic victories of the Chiefs and the Raiders this week. I mean, obviously, these games mean far more to Pastor Andy than they should, right? Well, 2,000 years ago, it was my privilege and my great honor to be with Jesus for 3 years. It was the greatest joy of my life to spend my life knowing Jesus and following Jesus. I treasure the stories that Jesus told to us and spoke to the crowds. He told parables that came straight out of everyday life experiences. He used examples and metaphors that we could relate to and understand. He didn't have screens and computers like you do today, but he had real life shepherds and sheep and farmers and camels that he could just point to for illustration. Even then, his messages were both heard and seen and experienced in our hearts. Jesus brought his open air preaching to where we lived, our boats, our shoreline, our houses. Jesus brought the good news of God's kingdom to us where we were so that we could live out that kingdom in our everyday lives and everyday relationships. I've come this morning to talk to you about the last words that Jesus spoke to us. I've come this morning to talk to you about the intentional and purposeful commissioning that we received from Jesus after his resurrection. It is my belief that his commissioning was not just to us, not just to us as first century disciples, but his commissioning was to you and every disciple who seeks to follow Jesus even this very morning. Being a disciple, being a Christian is not just believing in what Jesus has done, but also making a clear choice, a definitive decision to follow Jesus daily, to go where he goes and to do what he does and to be with him and for him in all things and to let his mission become your mission. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Jesus came to give people life and life abundantly. Jesus came to set the captives free. Jesus came to proclaim the good news to the poor. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. To follow Jesus is to let his mission become your mission. My fellow apostle Matthew concluded his gospel with these words of Jesus: "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," Jesus said. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." My brother Luke, writing for the Apostle Paul, gives us the last conversation Jesus had with us before he ascends to the Father. So when we had come together, we asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to us, "It's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." My fellow Apostle John shares the commission of Jesus with the words that Jesus spoke to us the very first time we experienced his resurrection presence. I remember it so well. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors were locked. We were afraid, afraid the Jews were coming to get us. And Jesus came and stood among us, and he said, "Peace, shalom, be with you." And when he said this, he showed us his hands, and he showed us his side. And then we were glad when we saw the Lord. And Jesus said to us again, "Shalom, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so now I am sending you." Brother Andy invited me to share these commissioning words of Jesus with you this morning. And from these words, I want to give you this very morning the primary principles that all of us who follow Jesus need to know. First, we needed to know then, and you need to know now, that the calling and commissioning of Jesus comes with great authority from on high. Matthew reminds us that Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And it's with that authority that Jesus sent his disciples long ago. He sent us out. And it's with that same authority that Jesus is now sending you today. The Greek word for authority is exousia. The exousia that Jesus gives us is the God-given power to act, the God-given ableness to obey and fulfill God's will. Exousia is the conferred power of God from God to be lived out by God in our world. When Jesus had first sent us, Jesus gave us authority, exousia, over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. When we returned from being on mission for Jesus, we were so excited and filled with joy. We told Jesus, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said to us, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I've given you authority, exousia, to tread on serpents and scorpions. I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Well, I wonder this morning, I wonder if you've been living with that kind of authority and power in your life lately. Brother Andy and Sister Janie, they have this thing in their kitchen called an air fryer. They got it from their kids for Christmas. They cook fish in there. They cook vegetables in there. They use it for breakfast and lunch and supper. It's meant not using their bigger oven unless the whole family's coming over. Now, wouldn't it have been crazy if Andy and Janie would have said, thank you for the gift, and then left it in the box and kept it on their shelf? Many disciples today have been given the great, beyond compare, authority of Jesus, and yet they've refused to use it. They've chosen to not access it. And they have continued to live in their own way and in their own strength. My brothers and sisters in Christ, take thou authority to be who Jesus wants you to be. Take thou authority to do what Jesus wants you to do. Take thou authority over the scorpions and snakes that Satan is always sending your way. Take thou authority to make a difference, to make disciples for Jesus in this world that so desperately needs his love. Second primary principle that we needed to know then and you need to know now is that the calling and commissioning of Jesus is not a me thing, it's a we thing. Jesus' call is not just personal, it's corporate. Jesus' call is not just a you thing, it's an all play thing together. When Jesus sent us out, he sent us out two by two. Jesus told us that when the Holy Spirit comes, you will be his witnesses, not his witness singular, but his witness says, plural. I know ancient Greek is different, a different language than your English language. But when Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so now I send you, Jesus used the second person plural for the pronoun you. That means if I understand your language right, the way you speak it in Texas anyway, that Jesus is saying, as the Father has sent me, now I send y'all. In fact, I send all y'all, right? Jesus has called us to be a Christ-centered family grace where we love him, where we love each other, where we also go out into the world and change this world together. Now, one of the ways that you could tell authentic Christ-centered community from just any old community is by what we do and how we live. The fruit of the Spirit is to be evident in us. You know, love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Where should the Spirit's fruit be seen? In your relationships. in your relationships with others, in your relationships with the body of Christ, in your relationships in this world where you're intentionally serving and reaching out to others who need to know Jesus and his love. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. It can't be hidden because its light, his light, is obvious to all who look. Nor do people light a lamp, put it under a basket, but they put it on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine, shine before others so that they may see your good works." Because why? They may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. When the world sees who Jesus is in you, when the world sees who Jesus is in your relationships, then they, the world, will give glory to your Father in heaven. Lord, make it so here in this your church called St. Luke's, Lord. Jesus, make it so. Brother Andy has a fireplace at his house. We used it a lot this week in the cold weather, and it's got a little gas lighter at the bottom, and he lights that little burner and he lays the wood, and then beautiful flames and wonderful heat just fills up the whole room. The world is waiting for the church of Jesus to heat up. The world is waiting for the body of Christ to be so on fire for Jesus that his transforming heat is felt and known by all people. That's what happened to us when the Holy Spirit came upon us. This is how Brother Luke describes our first century family of grace. He says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And all the believers, you gotta love that, right? All the believers were together and had everything in common. There was no hierarchy. There was no in or out. They were all together. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts and in their homes. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor. Check it out. Enjoying the favor of all the people. I know Christianity, that its reputation in today's world has fallen down. But God wants to renew and awaken us so that as we praise God, we still can enjoy the favor of all the people because of how we live and love one another. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Man, that's what Jesus wants to see happen here at St. Luke's. But for that to happen again, every follower of Jesus needs a small group of Christ followers to love him and her. Every small group of Christ followers needs to let Jesus' mission be their mission. We are never, never, never called to keep the fire to ourselves. We're never, never, never called to keep his grace to ourselves. Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, now I have sent y'all, all y'all, to go and love the world, even as I have loved you." Make it so, Jesus. For this, your church, make it so. Third primary principle that we needed to know then, and you need to know now, is that the calling and commissioning of Jesus comes with a powerful promise. Jesus said, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." I'm with you always, always to the end of the age. Jesus made this promise to us right before he ascended to the Father. I mean, his promise that he would never leave us happens just before he physically left us. And yet what we know so clearly and powerfully now is that the ascension is all about Jesus going from here to there so that he can go from there to everywhere. When Jesus was bodily with us here on planet Earth, he could only be at one place at one time. But when he ascended to the Father, he sent his very Spirit to each of us. And now he can be, and now he is, wherever we are, whenever we are. This morning, Jesus is moving in the underground church in China. This morning, Jesus is moving and bringing healing to the persecuted church in Afghanistan. This morning, Jesus is present in steeple churches and house churches and storefront churches all over our land. This morning, Jesus himself is working and stirring in you right now. Behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He will never leave you or forsake you. He will never give up on you. He will never stop loving you and making his presence known in your life. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, he will never stop calling you to engage, calling you to engage in making a difference in this world for him. I know it's very common in your day for both men and women to have hearing aids. The technology is so improved and the potential to communicate with one another has been heightened and advanced for thousands of people. But I also know that no matter how great the technology is, that people have the ability to turn those ear aids off. If they don't like what they're hearing, or if they don't want to hear what they're hearing, there's a simple click that can be made to make the sound, to make the noise, to make the voices go away. Jesus' promise is that he is with us until the end of the age. I'm asking you to not silence his voice. I'm asking you to not silence his call on your life, no matter what your age or what your circumstance. Hear the one who loves you. Hear his call. Hear his invitation. Let his mission be your mission. Our final primary principle that we needed to know then and you need to know now is that the calling and commissioning of Jesus is a call to make disciples. By the way, all Christians are called to be his disciples, and all disciples are called to be his disciple makers. Jesus taught us that we are to make disciples by going, baptizing, and by teaching. Going. Jesus called us long ago, and Jesus calls you today to go to where the people are, to go where the needs are. Jesus never desired that we, the church, would sit around and wait for people to come to us. But Jesus did clearly command us and desire us to go to the people. After all, that's what Jesus did for us. He came to our hometown. He came to our workplace. He came to our houses. He sat in our boats. He even helped us catch the biggest haul of fish we'd ever known. So if you're here this morning and you're wondering where you're supposed to go, simply go to the places you live, work, learn, and play. Simply go to the places you live, you work, you learn, and you play. Go there with eyes open and heart open to be the hands and the feet and the voice of Jesus to those who need him the most. And Jesus taught us that we make disciples by baptizing folks into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Just like this ring means that I belong to my wife. Getting wet in the sacred waters of baptism means that we belong to Jesus, and also that we belong to his body, the body of Christ. Baptism in the first century, baptism in the 21st century is the rite of inclusion into the kingdom of God and the family of Jesus. Baptism, no matter how much water you use, involves the Christ-centered family of grace fully including, fully embracing, and fully welcoming the new disciple into the family of Jesus. This open-armed embrace of others is not just our posture after someone is converted to Christ. It is our always posture to others, no matter what their struggles, no matter what their sins, no matter what their background, no matter what their ethnicity, no matter what their ideologies. You know what? It's all level ground. Level ground at the foot of the cross. It's by grace and grace alone that any of us are saved. God's grace meets us where we are and takes us, brings us where we need to be. Our goal, our hope, our dream is to bring people to Jesus. Our hope, our goal, our dream is to bring all people all the way to Jesus. Jesus also called us to make disciples by teaching them. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. It's so exciting for me to see all the ways that people in your day are exposed to the teaching of Jesus. I've seen the mass availability of God's word to people all over the world. I've seen the technology that allows Jesus' teaching to be accessed no matter where someone lives. I've seen the spread and growth of Christianity on every continent except perhaps the continents of North America and Europe. The challenge I want to issue the Western church, you, the people here in this church, the challenge I want to issue is that you have allowed teaching to be merely about information rather than transformation. You've taken classes, you've enrolled in studies, you've listened to sermons that have made absolutely no difference in your lives. Jesus commanded us. Commissioned us to make disciples by teaching disciples to observe, to obey all that I have commanded. Discipleship is not about how much you learn, but how much you obey. Discipleship is not about what you know, but about what you do with what you know. Jesus taught us that if we love him, we will obey him. And Jesus commanded us, and Jesus commands you to go and make disciples. Remember, all Christians are called to be his disciples, and all disciples are called to be his disciple makers. Man, I remember when I first met Jesus, I got to spend the whole day with him. And when that day was over, the very first thing I did was to run home and go tell my brother Simon, "Simon, you got to come and see. You got to come and see Jesus." And Simon came with me, and Jesus saw Simon. He said, "Your name is going to be Petros, the rock." I mean, my brother was a yo-yo, up and down, emotional this, emotional that, saying this, and, you know, not saying. I mean, he was all over the map, but Jesus said, "You're going to be my rock." And when Jesus sees you, he knows you. When he sees me, he knows me, not who we may be in, in our past, but who he sees us to be in his kingdom. It seems like forever since I first met Jesus, and yet it seems like just yesterday. And you know what? It still burns in my soul, the fire of bringing others to Jesus. But y'all, if that fire is missing in your gut and in your heart, that maybe he too is missing. The last words Jesus ever spoke to us were these: but you will receive power. Power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Witnesses are not theological experts. Witnesses are not trained communicators. Witnesses are just those who are willing to share what they know. Those who are willing to share what they've experienced. This morning, if you do not feel compelled and called to be his witnesses, then his Spirit is missing in your life. Jesus said, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Well, Andrew, I'm willing to be his witness, but I don't know how. Just join with Brother Andy and others who are learning to be his witnesses, learning to be his disciple makers together. I think they meet every other Wednesday night here at this beautiful sanctuary. I mean, here in this beautiful church that you call St. Luke's. This morning, my brother Cal is going to lead us in Holy Communion. And as he does, I invite you to fully receive the grace of Jesus. And I also invite you to also be fully willing to share his grace, his love, his healing with others everywhere that God takes you. In the places where you live, in the places where you work, in the places where you learn, in the places where you play. Be his followers. Do what he does. Be who he is. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be full of his grace. Be set apart to make disciples. Take thou authority to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Everywhere you go, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus the Christ, God bless you.